God is good. Yes, we are talking about change. Change is the most important thing we could ever grasp. We're on part three, so if you've missed part one and two, go back and get it. I think I can wrap this up today, but who knows? I love the fact that we can find godly principles everywhere. All you have to do is open your eyes and look. I ask God from time to time, God, show me you in something today. I had to open my eyes to find them. I have a favorite movie. I know you don't know what it is. The Grinch Who Stole Christmas is my all-time favorite movie. And we witnessed the full extent of change in that movie. The Grinch goes from A to Z. He goes from one end to the other, from one extreme to the other. Most of us don't live in that extreme world, but I did. I lived in an extreme place of hatred. And I went to an extreme place of love. So I understand the movie. Now, Grinchy made it clear he wasn't hiding anything. Unlike us, who try to hide our true selves. I always say, I don't know you yet, but I've been here a month. Yeah, but you still have your mask on. I don't know when I'm going to actually meet you. Right now, I'm talking to your representative. I'm talking to the person that you want me to think that you are. As if the Holy Spirit isn't revealing anything to me, but you don't understand that quite yet. And then finally, one day, the mask finally comes off, and I get to meet who you really are. Grinchy wasn't hiding anything. He hated everyone. He cared about nobody, and he lived a very, very miserable life because of it. You see, when we're outside of a godly life, you have a miserable life. Now, if you say, well, my life's not miserable and I'm outside of God, well, that's because you don't know what's available to you and you've accepted as norm where you are. But I can tell a lot of you that's not normal. It's not normal that you're behaving the way you behave. It's not normal that you're struggling the way that you're struggling. It's not normal. It's not the way God created us to live. Church has done a very bad job over the last many years of trying to teach people that certain things are okay. They're not okay. Poverty's not okay. I don't care if it's your relationship. I don't care if it's your finances. I don't care if it's your emotions. I don't care if it's your health. I'm here to tell you it's not okay. Because God didn't create us to be that way. The one difference between the Grinch and us is that he decided to steal Christmas. We steal without knowing that we're doing it. Our ungodly behavior is like a thief in the night. The emotional abuse that we inflict on someone steals their potential. Our anger steals someone else's joy and happiness. Our hatred steals someone else's self-worth. Our discouragement steals someone else's confidence. How many of us should have been locked up so we couldn't hurt anyone else? What I'm about to talk about is not a political endorsement in any way, shape, or form. I'm not advocating the Democrats. I'm not advocating the Republicans because I'm not allowed to. I like paying $4 for gas, just saying. I went out and bought a gas guzzler truck. I don't care. Just stays in the garage. All right. I put in that little disclaimer, so hopefully that, sheriffs aren't knocking on my door in a few minutes. I believe Barack Obama was elected president of the United States in part because he imparted positivity. From the time he began to campaign to the end of his 8 years, he talked about change and the ability to do so. Yes, we can, was repeated over and over again. And he was elected because he was setting people free from the bondage of failure. Our nation is enduring great favor. We want to hear from somebody who says they can change it. Clip.
And to all of you out there, every organizer who moved to an unfamiliar town, every kind family who welcomed them in, every volunteer who knocked on doors, every young person who cast a ballot for the first time, every American who lived and breathed the hard work of change, you are the best supporters and organizers anybody could ever hope for, and I will be forever grateful. Because you did change the world. You did. And that's why I leave this stage tonight even more optimistic about this country than when we started. Because I know our work has not only helped so many Americans, it has inspired so many Americans, especially so many young people out there, to believe that you can make a difference, to hitch your wagon to something bigger than yourselves. Let me tell you, this generation coming up, unselfish, altruistic, creative, patriotic, I've seen you in every corner of the country, my fellow Americans. It has been the honor of my life to serve you. I won't stop. In fact, I will be right there with you as a citizen for all my remaining days. But for now, whether you are young or whether you're young at heart, I do have one final ask of you as your president. The same thing I asked when you took a chance on me 8 years ago. I am asking you to believe, not in my ability to bring about change, but in yours. Yes, we can. Yes, we did. Yes, we can. Thank you. God bless you. May God continue to bless the United States of America.
I believe that that was his last speech as President of the United States. I believe that he was elected because he told people, we can do it. We can do it. Because I'm here to tell you today, you can do it. Whatever change you need to make in your life, yes, you can. Yes, we can, you and God. But you're going to have to believe in yourself. You're going to have to believe that you're strong enough. You're going to have to believe that you're capable. You're going to have to believe that there's a God that wants you to change. There was another guy I want to tell you about that amazed me, and his name was Tony Little. Does anybody know Tony Little? Y'all don't get out much in Lake Placid. There you go, Rick. Yes, Rick knows who Tony Little. Tony Little was a bodybuilder. He was slated to be the winner of the, you know, the big bodybuilding contest. Is it Mr. Universe or Mr. whatever it is? I don't know. But he was favored to win that. He was a bodybuilder. He was involved in 3 automobile accidents. He ended up in a 1-bedroom apartment, broke, unable to move. He lost it all. He so changed, and he became so well known that he was dubbed as America's personal trainer. America's personal trainer became a spokesperson for lots of products. And he did this with a simple message. You can do it. You can do it, was his message. Let's take a look.
I'm an uplifting guy. I talk about, you can do it. Believe in yourself. Move, move.
You can do it. Come on, you can do it.
You can do it.
When you hop on it, you simply hop on it and go, baby, baby, baby. You rock and roll.
See, I have good news.
Tell me more.
I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. Yeah, baby. You can do it.
Get your rear in gear.
Butch, butch, butch.
Get you psyched. Get you motivated. And if you can't do 1 minute, do 30 seconds. But it makes me go.
You can do it.
My trademark. Don't steal it.
Well, I stole it. Grinch stole Christmas. I can steal Tony Little's trademark. You can do it. People are hungry for change. People will follow someone leading the way of change. I have seen pastors preach that Jesus didn't change anything. My reply to that is he didn't change anything because he changed everything. He changed how you can get to heaven. He changed how you were to conduct yourself. He changed how you were to treat others. Before Jesus, it was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. After Jesus, it was turn the other cheek. Answer me this. If there was no Jesus, then why was the calendar changed? Let's look at Luke 4, 14 through 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, which is churches, and everyone praised him. Why? He had fresh manna. He was preaching something nobody else had ever preached before. A lot of times people say, well, I never heard that before. That's because it's fresh manna. You're not supposed to come to hear what you already know. You're supposed to come here to hear something you don't know. He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, and the Sabbath day is, we're going to argue about that a little bit. The Sabbath day is whatever day we make it to be. How do I know that? Because I read Jesus saying it. One man worships on this day, another man worships on this day. As long as you're worshiping God, I don't care what day you do it on. We worship on Sunday. But on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue or the church as it was his custom. As his custom, he regularly went to church. God went to church. People say, I don't have to go to church. God went to church. Are you kidding me? I think you should do what Jesus did. You want to be have the most greatest life you can have? Do what Jesus did. He went to church as his custom. In other words, every week. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He's not talking about people with empty pockets. He's talking about people with empty hearts. Money, you could have your pockets full of money, and that don't mean you ain't poor. If you're living with hatred, you're living with all the other things that you're living with, you're a poor person. You're in poverty. He read on, he said, he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Because when you're poor, you're stuck. You keep repeating the same old things over and over and over again because you're stuck. And Jesus is trying to say to you, yes, and I know you're stuck. That's why I'm here. I've come to unstuck you. That ain't even good English, is it? And I don't even care. Bill, don't you expect me to have good English? Don't you expect me to be politically correct? Because I'm not. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. I'm anointed to proclaim to you that you can be free. I'm trying to show you this Jesus so you can be set free. But you got to want it. You got to do it. Remember Tony Little? You can do it! And recovery of sight for the blind. And he's not talking about what you think is blind, what you can't see with these two eyes. He's talking about what you can't see with your spirit. I've come to the conclusion that it is impossible for me to explain to you where what you can see in the spiritual realm, because if you can't see it, you can't comprehend it, and you're not going to believe it. I can tell you, you can see things before they happen. People come up to me all the time and they say, you said this. You said that. And I don't even know I said it because it was in the spirit. So I don't know that I said it. You said this was going to happen. Yeah, because I wasn't here. I was there. They come to me after I preach and they say, well, what did you mean when you said this? I have no idea that I said that, let alone know what I mean when I said it. You know, y'all come here and it might feel like 3-4 hours out there. For me, it feels like 3 seconds up here. I am done in 3 seconds. It ain't 45 minutes to me, Keith. It's 3 seconds. I start and I'm done. What happened in between, I usually can't remember. And people say, well, you're looking at me, you're looking at me. I don't see anybody half the time. God came so you could begin to see there's a greater purpose than just you. Most of your struggles are because you're focused on you. What I want, what I think it should be, how I think it should go. The biggest fight I have in church is all these people who want to tell me how they think it should go. And you're over here and you're like, we should do to the left. The one over here is like, we should stay in the middle. And the one over here is like, we should go to the right. And the three of you don't know that the other two are giving me advice. And all three of you think your advice is right. One inevitably will get their way by chance, not because I'm listening to you. Just that there was three options and I chose one of them that I believe God led me to choose. They're happy. The other one gets angry because I didn't take their advice and they see how much trouble they can stir up. The third one gets angry and leaves because they didn't get their way. The difference between a suggestion and an order is whether or not you stay after you give it. If it's a suggestion, you'll stay. If it's an order, you'll leave when things don't go your way. But Jesus came to set the oppressed free. It's a hard thing to admit you're oppressed. But there's a lot of oppression out there. Many of you are oppressed. I don't say that to hurt your feelings. I say that for you to start to understand that you're living under oppression and you don't have to. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I'm trying to tell you that the favor of God will change everything in your life. Stop fighting it. Then Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the church were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And nothing has changed. That scripture is still fulfilled in your hearing of it. I see you in the spiritual realm. I see you in a cage. Not everybody, but some. And you're cowered in the corner of the cage. And you don't realize that the door is open. You're so beaten down. You're so used to failure. You're so used to the struggle. You're so used to the fighting. You're so used to all the things that are upon you, and you can't even see that the door is open and all you have to do is walk out. I used to live in that cage. I understand it. This scripture holds true even now because of Jesus. We now have the ability to rise up and change. To be set free of the spirit that oppresses you. Stop allowing people to get in your way to change. I'm going to hurt some feelings now. You trying to quit smoking dope? Don't let somebody around you who wants to smoke dope with you. Tell them to go home. You got somebody who wants to gossip with you? Tell them, I don't want to gossip. Go home. The go home is a very important part of that equation. Because you give them 30 seconds and they'll start again. If Bob or Acme are not sending you checks, then you have no right to be in someone's way. You are not a barricade. I don't care what you have been told. You can change. You can change poverty to wealth. You can change sickness into health. You can change inability to ability. You can change crying to silence. Oh, that wasn't in my sermon. That was for free. You can change ungodliness to godliness. You see, Bob told me I would be poor. Bob told me I was sick. Bob told me I couldn't do it. Bob told me I was the devil. You know what it's like to be called the devil? You the devil. One lady came in here and told everybody I was a wizard and I had chains and a big pointy hat and I was walking around the aisles chaining everybody up. Bob is nothing but a rubber cone that stands about 3 feet tall, just as a car will run over that rubber barricade. My spirit will run over any spiritual barricade because yes, we can. And yes, we did. We can do it. I can change. I don't have to be the person that I am today. Tomorrow, I can be somebody new. I've done it. I'm not done changing. I'm evolving. The Bible says, I'm doing something new in you. Can't you get it? Why can't you see that I'm trying to make a change in you? Every one of us should have something in our life that we would like to alter. For somebody who doesn't come to church, you can change and begin to come to church and hear the Word of God over your life, to hear some encouragement, to get lifted up. See, you're going to leave these doors and you're going to go back into that world and that world is going to kick you and spit on you and slap you and tear you down. Where do you go to get lifted up? Where do you go to be encouraged? Where do you go to realize there's something more than the way you have it now? We were in Peter, and we're going to finish up that scripture in Peter. Will you go to that scripture in Peter? Or in Acts, where we were. Okay. Now, and the point was this. Here was Peter denying Christ. He denied Christ three times, right? I don't know that man. I am not with that man. I deny knowing him. I deny being part of him. And if you are outside of Christ, you have denied God. I don't care what you think. And now Peter changes. What a remarkable change. To go from denying that God exists to accepting him as Lord of your life. I've got to find that. Okay. Peter's preaching to the group at Acts. And he was talking about Jesus, what Jesus done. And he says, until I make enemies a footstool before your feet. You see, one change some of us need to make is stop fighting the battles that we're fighting. It was not your battle. You just think it's your battle. You're trying to fight someone, and the Bible says your fight is not against someone, it's against powers and principalities. It's against spiritual realm. And you ain't won the battle because you haven't let God have the battle. It says, until I make the enemies a footstool for your feet, not when you do it. Many of you know that's how Marjorie straightened me out. She stopped fighting with me. Woman won't fight with me. Y'all come in talking about how you fight all the time in my office, and that's foreign to me because my wife won't fight with me. She knows better. Not that I'm going to win. She just knows that ain't the way to do it. She goes before God. Bill, you're not going to like this, but she goes before God. And she says, Lord, that man that you gave me is acting a fool. Take care of him. Try it. I promise it works. She ain't going to go fight with me. She goes and fights with God. We don't have arguments. She just looks at me and says, shut up, Mono. Goes and gets God. Simple in our house. Works well for us. It'll work well for you too. Therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made with Jesus, whom you crucified, and many of you are still crucifying him to this day, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. I was so proud of Brittany Wednesday night. If you missed it, you really, I feel sorry for you. She came in here. She ain't never preached before, to the best of my knowledge. Is that correct? Nervous as can be. Did you see it? No. Right? But she was nervous. She was very nervous. It is not easy. And she took the stage and she poured her heart out to you. And she talked about a life that she lived. And I said, that's Peter. That's Peter. Peter was denying Christ ever existed. Which Jesus says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. The ultimate sin is denying Christ. To someone who was willing to get on the stage and proclaim the word of the Lord. That's what this church is here for. I still haven't critiqued her yet. It's coming. Because my job is to make you better. My job is to give you an opportunity and then to mentor you. That's what a bishop is. A bishop brings people up. Now we got to work on David. Get him up here. Peter's telling him, repent and be baptized. Every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. The same guy who just recently denied Christ has come alive. You can make that change. You can come alive. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 people were saved that day. See, you don't know. I remember I called my Sunday school teacher and told him I was a pastor. Longest silence I ever heard in my life. The phone went dead. Because you don't know. You don't know how somebody can change. That's why we have an obligation to encourage the change. People get mad at me sometimes because I don't convict people of their sins, because that's not my job. I don't care what you're doing. I show you Jesus. Jesus will do it. Not my job. My job is to show you Jesus. And people come to me all the time, why don't you tell somebody they got to stop doing this? Who am I to tell you what to do? Who am I to tell you what to stop? It's not my job. My job is just to show you Jesus, tell you that you can change, and be a witness and an example of somebody who's changed. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking bread, and to prayer. In one day, Peter changed the course of this world because he allowed himself to change. You see, one thing I like about the Grinch that stole Christmas, the who's represent the Christians. And when the Grinchy stole all their stuff, he could not touch their spirit. They sang and honored God as if nothing had ever happened. Peter could have been, I've denied him, I can never change. I've done this in my past, so I can never change. And then you hang around people that won't let you change. The who's ignored all of that. I want to tell you about a guy by the name of Zacchaeus. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. Maybe Zacchaeus, I don't really know. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. The tax collectors were very wealthy. Why? They stole. They were criminals. There was no IRS form. The tax collector got in front of you. He told you how much you owed. And that might be different than what he turned in. And so they were all wealthy because they helped themselves to the taxes. He was a criminal. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Some of you come to church and you're here today and you kind of just want a glimpse of who Jesus is. So you climb up into your pew, into your chair, and wait to see what you see. That's what Zacchaeus did. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart today. I want to stay with you. Some people come in here and they leave and they never come back. They never look back. And Jesus is saying, but I want to stay with you. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. I want to stay with you. Zacchaeus welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and they begin to mutter, he's gone to be in the guest of a sinner. True. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And just because you have Jesus in your heart don't make you a bit better than somebody that doesn't. You just got lucky. And I don't believe in luck. I call it luck, the favor of God. That you found a Savior. I am fortunate that I found God. I'm fortunate that God didn't say, you know what? You're a sinner. You're dirt. You're filth. I cannot come anywhere near you. And I hear Christians all the time, well, I got to stay away from the sinners. No, you don't have to stay away from him, but you do have to stay away from them in certain places and times. God's going to use you to break their chains, but you got to have your own chains broken first. See, someday God's going to put an anointing on Brittany. Mark my words. Oh, it's going to happen. But it won't happen until she breaks her chains. And when those chains are broke, Zacchaeus was a thief. He was hated. He has an encounter with Jesus. And he went. Verse 8 is amazing. He says, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount. That's a changed heart. An encounter with God changed his heart. And all of a sudden, he didn't want to be that thief that he was. He didn't want to be that person that was worthless. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. God accepted his change. And we have to accept each other's change. And when you fall back, you just need to get up again. You might not be able to change in a second, in a heartbeat. But if you have that desire to change, that desire will get stronger and stronger and stronger until you're able to change. That's where Jesus comes in. That's what Jesus does for you. I remember playing cards. I was a card player. And I had a great advantage because I was sober. Didn't bet much the beginning of the night. But I could bet a lot toward the end of the night. I was evil. What can I tell you? Smart and evil. Bad combination. Bad combination. End of the night, I'm betting all kind of money because they're all drunk and I'm sober because I don't drink. Never play cards with a sober guy if you're drunk. Don't do it. You think you know what you're doing, but you don't. All of a sudden, I'm playing and I'm not comfortable anymore. This don't feel right. Come back the next time and I'm not supposed to be here. You come back the next time and it's like, it's miserable. I'm having a miserable time. I used to love coming and now I'm just miserable. That's God helping you change. Starts with a small thought like, I shouldn't be doing this. See, if you think back 4 months ago, you never had that thought. You just did it. And now you have that thought, you know, I shouldn't be doing this. And it gets stronger and stronger and stronger because God will help you change. My biggest desire for you is that you make the changes that you and God want you to make. My team will come up to pray for you if you want to come up and pray. If you want to invite Jesus into your heart today, very simple. The good news, he won't refuse you. He's been waiting on you, as a matter of fact. He won't refuse you. He'll accept you with open arms and he'll help you change your life. If you're at a place where you're just tired of the same old, same old, same old, same old, tired of struggling, God wants to do something for you. Will you let him? Father, we thank you that we can change. We thank you that you don't want us to be the same, and we don't want to be the same. We ask your blessing to be upon our life. In the name of Jesus, amen.